Let's all stand together, please. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30, for our scripture reading this morning. 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. As is our custom, we will read responsively. I'll start with the first verse. We'll read down to verse 10. And 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire together, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, went on their way." Verse 3. "So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives together. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Verse 7, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor." And let's pray for the service this morning. Lord, we thank you again that we can gather together at your house. Please, be with Pastor Myers as he preaches. Every one of us as we listen, give us exactly what we need. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I love this story. In 1975, there were 75 inmates in Mexico, southern Mexico prison. They decided that they were going to break out. And so by their sure genius and just figuring it out all by themselves, they started tunneling for 5 months. They worked very hard. Finally, on April 18, 1976, because of their wonderful planning and tremendous genius, they broke through right in the middle of the courtroom where they had been sentenced in the first place. They had a wonderful plan that they came up with themselves, and it didn't quite lead to where they wanted. That's a lot like our lives a lot of times. We kind of make our own plans. We kind of follow our own ways, and things don't end up the way we want them to. Everybody is led by something in life. Some people are led by their passion, what they just love. Some people are led by some goal they're trying to achieve in life. Some people are influenced by individuals and head off in life in that direction. Or sometimes people get caught up in some truth, whether it's right or wrong. But the thing we need to understand is that whatever it is or whoever it is you allow to lead you is going to determine where you end up. And if we follow the wrong thing, we're going to end up the wrong place. In our story today, we're going to see David at a very dark part of his life. He's in a very dark place, and he's just barely able to get out of it. The problem is, what got him there in the first place? Before we look at this story, we have to figure out how David got there. We know a couple weeks ago, before our missions revival, I spoke about how that Saul had lost the kingdom because of his disobedience. And so when he lost his kingdom, God had promised it to another. And David had been anointed for that very purpose. He was going to be the next king. Now, there was some difficulties involved. He had to wait for Saul to die. And Saul had been chasing him down. Several times David had to flee and was hiding in caves and hiding in the mountains and escaping with his life, just barely. A couple times God had placed Saul in a place where David, if he had wanted to, could have killed him. And some of his men said, hey, here's the place to kill him. And David, rightly so, would not take things into his own hands and said, he's God's anointed. We'll let God deal with that. After one of these times when David had escaped and Saul kind of was going to leave him alone for a while, David made a very bad decision. He got discouraged and down and said, I'm tired of this. And so he decided that he was going to go to the land of the Philistines and hide out there. That was a very bad idea, by the way. They were sworn enemies of Israel. And he got close to King Achish there. And so now he's living with the Philistines, God's enemies. And he's actually being deceitful to him. The king there thinks that David's on his side, but David really isn't. David's doing some raids against some of the allies of the Philistines. And when he comes back, the king says, hey, where you been? He goes, he's telling him that he's making Israel even his enemy. Well, it comes to a day when the Philistines are going to fight against Israel. King Achish pulls David in and says, now you know you're going to fight with me. David says, I'll show you what he... Now, David didn't necessarily say, I'm going to fight with you. But David said, you know what I can do, because David was a warrior. Now, I don't personally think David would have ended up fighting against Israel. I think he would have probably turned the other way and went with Israel. But regardless, some of the leaders there see David and said, hey, wait a minute. This guy is from that country. They sang songs that David slew 10,000s. He's not fighting with us. Let him go. So the king comes to David and says, go home. Well, at that time, they were in Ziklag. And so here's David, all this drama and nonsense going on simply because he had led himself away from really where God had wanted him to be. They come back to Ziklag, and they find out that the Amalekites, just so happened when David and his men were away, came by. Amalekites are, again, sworn enemies of Israel. And they come by, and they know that that's David's place, and David's gone. They probably knew that he had went out of town. And so they burn the city down in vengeance against David, and they take everything that they have, including their families, their wives, their children, and they take off. And so here's David's men coming back. They're weary. They were out there ready to go to war. Now they've walked all the way home, and they're tired, and they come back, and the city is burned. Everything they have is gone. Their families are gone. And you can imagine the weariness and the discouragement of his men. So they decide, they come up with a plan. They're talking about stoning their leader, killing David. Now the Bible says because they were discouraged for their daughters and their sons. It's kind of weird that they didn't say anything about their wives, but we won't read into that. And he said, they're discouraged because their family's gone, and they're talking about killing David. Now, put yourself in David's spot. He left his home country where he shouldn't have, in discouragement. So he can't go home. He's got no encouragement there. He's living in a pagan society there. His own men are against him. His family's been taken. He's in a pretty low spot. So what does he do? Well, he did the one right thing that he probably should have done. You see, up until that time, he had been leading himself, and he had put himself in some pretty bad position. Now, as he's stuck there by himself, and he has to make a decision and kind of lead himself again, he does actually the right thing. Kind of what I'm talking about this morning is, how can you lead yourself? You're going to have to do it the way David should. So David here, he's up against a wall. He made decisions he shouldn't have made. He had some associations he should have never allowed himself to be a part of. He almost got stuck fighting a battle that he shouldn't even have been anywhere near unless he was on the other side. And he suffered a consequence that he didn't have to suffer. Here's what you need to do, and here's what he needed to do when it comes to leading himself. You can only lead yourself when you lead yourself to the Lord and then allow yourself to be led by the Lord. That's what he had to do. He had to get right back to where he needed to be. He had been doing his own thing, and he needs to get back to God and allow God to take over and get him to where he needs to be. When you lead yourself without the Lord, you are leading yourself almost always into trouble. And once you start down that path, you get in trouble here, here, here. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Sadly, the average Christian, that's how they live their life. Oh, they'll come to church sometimes. They may even occasionally crack their Bible open. But when it comes to the daily, everyday details of their life, they kind of just do what they want to do. They kind of just do what they feel like doing. And it seems like that Christianity that they have has nothing to do with what's going on in their life Monday through Saturday. By the way, let me just say, that's no way to live. And that's not how God wants us to live. God wants to be a part of our life each and every day. But how can we get back to that part? How can we get back if we've been kind of leading ourselves? How can we lead ourselves back to where we need to be? I understand the time's a little bit late this morning, so let me give you four things briefly that'll help us to lead ourselves back on the right path. First of all, I want you to notice he was encouraged in the Lord. Look at verse 6 again. He was encouraged in the Lord. It said, and David was greatly distressed, for the people speak of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. By the way, they weren't the only ones that were grieved. David was also grieved. By the way, David was weary. David was tired. That kind of all kind of builds that up also. But look what it says, the last few words. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He quickly went to the only place and to the only person that could give him the encouragement that he needed. He couldn't go to any of his friends back in his country because he had bailed on them. He couldn't go to the king where he was at. He was a pagan. That was a pagan land. He couldn't even go to his own men at this time because they had turned on him and they were talking about killing him. He couldn't go to his family. His family was gone. He had nowhere to go, but he turned and he went to the one place where he could get the encouragement he needed. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. You know, God's given us a lot of places we can find encouragement. If you're a Christian and you have a church family, and if you don't have one, I know a good church family you ought to become a part of. But sometimes a church family can be an encouragement. You come to church and maybe things aren't going so well, and you get encouragement there. Maybe you have a good, godly Christian friend, and things aren't going well, and just a text or just a call, and you can get a little encouragement there, and thank God for that. Maybe you find it in prayer support of fellow Christians. Something's bad, and you have some people you can text and say, please pray for me today, or pray for this situation for me, and you know they're going to pray, and that's an encouragement. But let me just tell you something. Sometimes all of that's kind of wiped away, and you can't get to it. But you can always get to the Lord. And David went straight to the Lord, and he encouraged himself. I want you to understand that. In other words, the encouragement he had to turn to the Lord came from within. It came from him. He had enough inside of him to kind of push back all the nonsense that was going on around him. The weariness, the discouragement, his men bickering about him. He was able to push all of that away and focus on what he knew about God and meditate and think about what he knew about God and was able to encourage himself in the Lord. Now, let me just say this. We will never be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord if we don't know much about him. See, many Christians struggle and they never could get to that place where if everything around them is crashing in and there's no one around that they can stop and encourage themselves in God because they really just don't know very much about God. They don't know their Bible. They've not learned much. That's why I encourage you, get to know everything you can about God. Get to know everything you can about His Word, because there's going to come a time when you're down and discouraged and that Bible verse is going to pop up. That truth maybe you heard in a Sunday school lesson or in church service is going to pop up. And you're going to be able to latch onto that truth from the Scripture and say, Lord, I know that's true and I'm encouraged in what you said and I can go forward. You're never going to find it. If we have nothing spiritual inside us, we have no ammunition to use to encourage ourselves. Oh, you may hear something from Dr. Phil or some other nonsense. How in the world Oprah Winfrey ever became our spiritual advisor is beyond me. But that wisdom doesn't go very far. And by the way, sometimes I'll hear someone and they'll say something good. But usually the truth that's good is connected to the truth of the Scripture. But sometimes you hear stuff from people, it's like I say before, when I used to work at the warehouse, I'd be sitting in the break room, and here's this guy whining to another guy at work about his wife and his family, and here's this guy giving an advice about his wife and his family. I'm thinking, he's on his fourth. Now maybe he knows what not to do, but I'd like to know somebody that knows something that's true. And I only know one place that I can get that, and that's from right here. Let's load ourselves up with God's truth, because when discouragement comes, and by the way, it comes to everybody. There's nothing wrong with starting to that encouragement. It's when we let it stay. See, David didn't just say, well, everybody's against me. This is the time for me to clock out. No, God already had something planned for him. He had to get down the road to it. Can you encourage yourself? Secondly, he inquired of the Lord. He was encouraged by the Lord, and he was quiet. Look at verse 7 and 8. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Ephod was a thing they had, and it had some jewels in it. And for some reason back then, God would allow that to be used to preach and ask questions, and God would answer through it. We aren't quite sure how that worked, but it did work. And David inquired in verse 8, at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop and I overtake them? So after David got encouraged, he pulls the priest in and says, listen, let's ask God what we got to do here. And he prays, should we pursue? And God answers and says, go for it. But he went to God. He not only was encouraged from God, then he took that encouragement and said, okay, Lord, what do I do next? See, sometimes, you know what we want? We want a hug and we want a pat on the back, but we don't want an answer and a path to get us out of where we're at. And give me a hug and a pat on the back kind of guy. I'm a, like, give me the plan to get out. You know, you can do it, cowboy. Come here, let me give you a hug. I don't need a hug. Okay? Tell me I can do it and show me how I can do it so I can get at doing it. Now, if you need a hug, go get one. Just make sure it's from the right person, okay? But look, what's the plan? God's like, okay, I'm encouraged now, but I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, I feel so much better. Let's sing Kumbaya. No, he said, okay, I'm feeling good. I know God can do this. Now, God, what do we got to do next? Most of us don't go that way, right? We get so caught up and we don't inquire at God in the first place. I think of the story of Joshua, when God told him, said, go wipe out everybody in Canaan. Don't let anybody survive. This is your land. They're pagans. They're going to corrupt you. And the Gibeonites are like, we don't want to get killed. We don't want them to conquer our city. So they deceived them. They made themselves think like they were coming from a faraway country and said, we want to be allies. God said, don't be allies with the people of the land. And they looked and said, well, look, their shoes are worn out. Their bread is moldy. They must have come from a long place. And the Bible says they didn't inquire at the Lord. And they said, we'll make a league with you. God said, that was a bad idea. You know why it happened? They didn't inquire of the Lord. Remember when they fought at Ai? They had just defeated Jericho with some plan God gave them, which seemed goofy, but it was God's plan and it worked. Then they go to Ai and they're all cocky and like, we got this. It's a small town. And guess what happened? They didn't ask God the game plan. And you know what? They lost. We always got to find out what God says. If we're going to stop doing what we want to do, if we want to stop following our way, which is not going the right way, we might want to stop and say, God, what is the right way? Where is the path that I should take? There always has to be a change in our path if there's going to be a change in our life. Too many people I've met come with problems, and all they want is they want you to take the consequences of the problem away without fixing what got them into the problem in the first place. So if you take the consequences away and we continue on that same wrong path, it's just going to be a different problem, which has different consequences. It's time to find the right path, and David did that. He inquired of the Lord. You say, but that sounds hard. How are we going to, if we find out what God wants us to do, how are we going to do it? I knew you were going to ask that. Number three, he was enabled by the Lord. Let's go back to verse 8, the last half. David said, should we pursue? Verse 8, and he answered and said, pursue, for thou shalt utterly overtake them and without fail recover all. Now that's good stuff. All the guys are talking about stoning them, and they're probably looking down at the brook for some stones. And David's having a revival meeting saying, Lord, I know you can do this. What do you want me to do? And David comes back and says, put the stones down. I don't think they got the stones, but put the stones down. God said, we got to go get these guys. And not only are we going to catch them, we're going to overtake them, and we're going to get everything back. Not one thing is going to be messed up. And God enabled him. You say, well, how do I follow God's plan? If we would understand that God enables us to do everything that he commands us. Now think about that. Some people are like, I could never do the things that the Bible tells me to do. Let me explain how God works. If God tells you to do something, the very fact that he tells you to do it means that you can do it. God never tells us to do something that we cannot do. I've heard someone say it like this: God's commandments are his enablements. Now, many of us have children, and sometimes we'll send them a little project and, hey, go do this. Can you go do this for me? And it's something that's outside of their scope of skill, and they can't do it. We just misjudged it as parents. Well, God never misjudges things. And the fact that God tells us to do something means we, first of all, have to do it. Number two, can do it. God said, you're going to get everything back. And guess what? That's the game plan. You can do everything that God wants you to do. So many Christians settle for so much less in their Christian life because they simply either don't believe that or they simply just choose to ignore it. God wants us to have a certain type of life, and God enables us to have that type of life. Lastly, I want you to see he was energized for the Lord. Look at verse 9. So he goes, he gets encouraged. Then he inquires at the Lord. Then the Lord enables him and says, this is what's going to happen for sure. Now he gets the energy to go do it. Verse 9. So David went. Now when you read the Bible, you got to think this thing through. They had already been traveling for a very long time. They were weary. They came home tired after a long trip. Their family's gone. They didn't sit down and take an 8-hour nap and then follow it because they had to get on the road to get the people right now. Where did they get that energy come? That comes from God. Now, some of them struggled, but it came from God. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook. Now, there were several that just couldn't do it. David's like, fine, you guys stay here. I'm all in. And four of them took off. Now, if you read the rest of the story, what happens is they catch up. The Amalekites are having a little party because they thought they won. David's 400 men come in and take care of all of them, except 400 young guys escape. And they get their wife and not only all of their stuff back, but they get all the stuff the Amalekites had taken from other people. Why? Where'd they get that energy from? Because now they knew what God wanted. Now they knew this was going to be a victorious ride. Now they knew the path they were supposed to take. And all of that energized David, and off they went energized. They made it to the Lord. They follow his directions. How do we live for God? We need the energy of the Lord. If we do these things, we will have the energy to do what's right. You know, the saddest thing is, there's too many, and I heard somebody use this word a long time ago, there's too many used to Christians. You know, I used to go to church. I used to read my Bible. I used to share my faith. I used to give. I used to serve. I don't do that anymore. You know why? They didn't outgrow it because it's not something that immature, that is only for, you know, serving God isn't for immature for people. It's actually for mature people. You know what happened? They started doing their own thing. And they got disconnected from God, and they got over here, and they never got back. Oh, now sometimes they'll blame it on whatever. The fact of the matter is they lost their energy. If we simply follow the Lord, and we are simply committed to finding what he wants for us and staying close to him and following his will. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be times maybe necessarily we deviate for a season or we say, oh, I shouldn't get, let me get back on the path. But there are too many people that are like this. I mean, 1 week they want to be missionaries to the whole world. I mean, they don't want to be on our Southeast Asian teams. They want to be on a North, East, South, and West world. And then 2 weeks later, you can't even find them. Why? We're too emotional. God wants us to stay even keel. Amen. How do you stay even keel? Let's just follow the Lord. Amen. Let's just follow him in the first place. How do we lead ourselves? That's the title of the message. It's actually, you can't. But how? If you want to lead yourself right to God. And say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Hey, maybe you're deviated from the path. See, maybe you've made a couple of decisions here or there, and you can already start to see the fruit of it. You know what God's saying? That's okay. Let's just get back to where you're supposed to be. Let's get right to back on the path, and things shall be well. Let's stand together this morning.